All right, guys, we're back. We are on whatever episode it is. I don't even know anymore. So we're veterans at this point. Colton Mertens is here. Colton is one of our newest athletes this year. Colton and I actually go back, I mean, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Well, Iowa boys back in the day. We're really excited to have Colton here, though. This has been something, I think, a long time in the making, which is cool. He's actually fresh off 24.1 as of a couple hours ago. How you feeling right now?
I feel like I've recovered pretty well. My triceps are still just pretty smoked. And yeah, if you guys don't know, Nick and I actually competed on a team together for a comp before. So we go
there's way back. Some good photos out there of that. I think there's a good story there. Do you remember the pistol workout in that comp?
No, not really. I don't really remember any of the workouts.
You've done that competition about 10 times. So, but no, there was a workout where it was a chipper, and I think there were 60 pistols in the middle of it. And like normal people, we got together and we said, all right, how are we going to break this up? And Colton, you just looked me dead in the eye and you said, oh, I'll do them. Don't worry. And I saw this man do 60 pistols in 60 seconds probably. So if you guys don't know, we've got one of the fittest squatters, one of the fittest
best squats in the game.
Best squats in the game, fittest burpeer in the game. So you clearly like the workout that came out yesterday. We did some training afterwards as well. You're brand new to Proven. You've got our individual coach Joey, who is brand new with you. How's that been going so far?
It's been really good. One thing before we get to that, I listen to the Training Think Tank podcast a lot, and they keep saying Jake Berman's the best at burpees. You guys, he's not on my level. So we'll see what the scores are like after this workout. It's a very burpee-based workout, but I just want to let you guys know you need to quit saying that. But
all right, we're getting into it. We're just going to start throwing shots out here. So whatever you need to say, you keep saying it.
You know, yeah, started working with Joey and Proven right after Wadapalooza. We were talking and getting onboarded before that. And then, yeah, it's only been, I don't know, like 5 weeks or something like that. But it's been really nice not to have to mess with any of my own programming. I just pull it up on the app, write on the whiteboard, and get going. And I'm really surprised that, like, so obviously we talked and had meetings about the things that I wanted to work on and where I needed to be before the season started. And just really shocked at how, like, quickly certain aspects of my fitness have been improving. Just, like, focusing a lot on, like, pulling strength, whether from, like, deadlifts or power in the Olympic lifts. And that's gotten so much better. And then a really big focus has been running. And we just tested, like, a 3K run recently, and that went way better than expected. So I'm really excited to see where we're going to be at come semis and games.
So let's go back. What year, let's talk about like how you got into CrossFit. So like what year was your first official, let's say when you did the open for the first time, or how'd you hear about CrossFit the first time?
I remember I was cleaning my room in high school and I just had ESPN or something on, and the CrossFit games or some kind of CrossFit competition was on the TV just like in the background, and I started watching it, and it was then I decided I want to try and do that someday. So then I got into college. In my second semester, I just did like a Google search for gyms in the area and found CrossFit Kilo in Cedar Falls. And I walked in there like middle of January and then did the open like 3 weeks later and started doing the competitor training and everything pretty much right away. Because as soon as before I started, I knew I wanted to compete and wanted to be a games athlete. I feel like a lot of people, when they get into this CrossFit, they have aspirations to compete eventually. And so yeah, started in 2017 in January. So this, I think, is like my eighth open or something like that, which is weird because it still feels very new.
Yeah, that's so. If you guys don't know, Kilo Trained was who you were with before, and that's actually a gym that was, we were only about an hour away from each other. So you and Taylor trained some while we were there. We were up there, and like, if you want to talk about some of the toughest athletes I've ever met in my life, you guys had them all. Like, Armin, who ran the gym, is one of the coolest, most down-to-earth, but also scariest men I've ever met in my life. Luke, who we know really well, and even Street was from there. All you guys kind of found your own path as really good athletes, so it's been cool to see, because, like, homegrown is the statement, right, for Kilo Trained, which is really cool.
Yeah, they were really good. It kind of like a big point of emphasis on, like, just taking the athletes that walk into the gym and developing them for their teams and everything like that. And now Kilo 2 is doing that as well. And, yeah, we had the competitor or mental toughness camp, whatever you want to call it, every year, where it would be like a 24-hour just, like, beat down doing workouts pretty much nonstop and things like that to develop, like, mental strength and those kind of things, and Armin ran that and was kind of like a throwback to his time in the military. And he's like, I remember when I first started, I was starting to get kind of good, but it was disappointing because I'm like the third fittest dude in the gym, because like Street and Luke were always better than me. So that was annoying for a long time, but I think
and they let you know about it too. Like, so Austin and Micah were there probably at that mm-hmm. time too, and those guys were like, you would never know it, the fittest dudes around. Like, people would have the most unassuming people on the floor, especially when they got on teams together, and it was hilarious. I think it was one of the biggest realizations for me in Iowa was how long everyone had been doing CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Like, I came from Michigan, I would say, is a newer state when it comes to stuff. Mm-hmm. Everyone I talked to in Iowa had been like, 2009, 2010, everyone had been around for 10 years.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember seeing a picture that Kilo 2 posted of their regional or games team. It might have been like the 2018 regionals, and they were all doing like the bicep flex, and everybody was giving Austin shit because he had the smallest arms on the team, or I can't remember which
of the men and the women.
Yeah. But he's surprisingly strong, and he's very springy. He's got Duke can jump really high. He's got great power in his Olympic lifts. But yeah, like,
yeah, I mean, we were talking about that last night. He's still competing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what year did he probably start? He's been around forever.
Oh yeah, he was on several of the games teams back at the original Kilo when it was teams of six, mm-hmm. and he's been the coach of the Kilo 2 team, and they just repeated games appearances and going for the third straight now, and he's holding himself together and still getting fitter.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So that was 2017, you said, right? So that's when you mm-hmm. got into it. What year was it when you realized, okay, like this might be my career now? Like, I want to finally put all my eggs in this basket, and I think this is a possibility.
I wanted to, that was my goal or my ambition right from the beginning, was I wanted to eventually do that. In like some late 2018, I qualified for Dubai. Mm-hmm. I think I got like third on the qualifier. And then I got to the event in person. I got like probably third to last or something like that.
A lot of running in that one.
Yeah. That specific qualifier was really good for me in terms of the movements. It was like chest to bar, hang squat cleans, things like that. And then we got there and like, oh, we're running, swimming, carrying yokes. I'm like, shit.
But in the desert too. Mm-hmm. Because that's always an event that's in like the middle of winter, right? So mm-hmm. when you're in the Midwest, it's always coming from like snow to 100 degrees in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. It was wild. It was definitely a different experience. And just like, I definitely took my lumps and took it as a good learning experience. And I was like, well, okay, hopefully I never have a competition that bad again as far as performance goes. And then after that, I qualified for Rogue and Granite Games and did well at Rogue. Then like a week later, went to Granite Games, didn't do so well, but was still just like on that path trying to break through individually. And then 21 is when I qualified for my first games as an individual. And that's kind of when I was like, okay, this is like, I can actually do this. Cause there was a lot of doubt cause I was farming and training at home. Yep. And you know, the general consensus is people would be like, well, you probably are not going to qualify for the games while you're farming all day and you're training alone in your garage or whatever. And things like that. So just like knowing that like, okay, it is actually possible, I can do this, was like a big help mentally.
Yeah, and I think mm-hmm. one of the coolest things about you, man, that I've noticed ever since day one mm-hmm. is no matter what anybody says, you're going to do your thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what the general population says about you, right? You have a goal. You know what you want to do, and you know what you want to accomplish. Some of the listeners, they may not know you actually work on your family farm. You've mm-hmm. done that for probably your whole life, right? I'm sure the minute you could start walking there, yeah. putting you to work.
Yeah.
Tell them kind of like what a normal day looks like, especially when you were in college. Like that mm-hmm. was even crazier because you had to do both.
Yeah. So in college, I went to school at the University of Northern Iowa. It's about 2.5 hours from home. And pretty much on a regular schedule, I'd come back home like every other weekend and work on the farm. I'd be back during like Christmas, spring break, and summers and all that. And then graduated college. The plan was to come back home and work on the farm. So I did that and ended up having to kind of build out like a home gym because at the time there wasn't anything within like 45 minutes. And just like with the farm schedule, it's a lot better to be able to come straight home from the farm and just get started on training. So there was a lot of times, especially when I first started, where it'd be especially like in the summer, if we're in the fields or something, where it'd be 12 plus hour days, we'd start like at 4:30 in the morning. I'd get back and it'd be dark and I'd go train in the shed. And I mean, that was really, really hard mentally for a long time. But now I don't put in nearly as many hours on the farm, still there every day. But there's a lot of times where just kind of the way that the farm has transitioned lately, been getting more land for crops and we've been pulling back on the livestock. So it's a little bit less labor intensive for me. So there's like a lot of days where I can get in and out and start training early afternoon. I typically can start training like 1 or 2 o'clock in the evening. And it's been a lot of just like focusing on how to adjust my diet and recovery routine. Because it's not going to look the same as other athletes who are training full time. So just been, I started working with a nutritionist and that's been helping a ton with getting those things kind of ironed out. And yeah, it's a different path than most other athletes take. So I have to realize that a lot of things that I do are going to look different and just be confident that I'm doing what I need to do.
Yeah, so I think that's something that's really cool because that story is not like anyone else, I think, in the entire sport. I know, like, Marcus Hendren back in the day, he worked on a farm.
Yeah.
Was he somebody that you, like, looked up to back in the day?
At the time, I didn't know him. It was just like, yeah, I knew, like, some of the smaller athletes, like Josh Bridges, were kind of an inspiration, being, like, the smallest games athlete. But for the most part, it was just like, this is going to be different than what anybody else is doing. But I just had, like, the confidence and self-belief that, you know, it's going to be different than them, and they don't think it's really possible to do, but that's because they're not me. Like, if they're in my situation, I believe they would fail, but I think that I could do it. If anybody could do it, I believe that I was the one, and yeah, I ended up getting it done.
So I know we, like, back in the day, you told us it was always farm first, fitness second, right? Like, even your family let you know, this is great you're doing this, but the farm has to come first. Like, that probably had to make you really dial in on what you were doing from a scheduling standpoint, from you probably didn't have a lot of free time, right? Like, when it was coming down to those things. Do you look back on that today and realize that made you into the athlete that you were?
Yeah, it definitely helped develop a lot of discipline. And just like, I, you know, some athletes complain about like, oh, I don't want to have to go to bed on time, or I don't want to like turn off Netflix, whatever. But yeah, for a long time it was like I'd farm, come home, eat really quick, and then start training, eat dinner, and then straight to bed. And it was like that for a long time, but it helped develop a good discipline. So where now I have a little bit more free time, and I can spend that time, like, I'll get done training, eat dinner, and then get right into recovery work, rehab stuff. And then when it's time to go to bed, straight to bed, get my sleep. And yeah, a lot of those lessons help a lot. And also just knowing when you are really tired or fatigued from the farm, that you can still have the ability to push really hard, even if it's just mentally, even if your body doesn't have it that day. But also just like surprising yourself when, you know, a lot of times I'll go into a workout like, man, I'm just tired from like getting up early, or, you know, the pigs were ornery that day. So it was really had to do a lot of work. But then surprising yourself with your performance in the gym and then being able to carry that into competition. Like, it maybe it's like the third day and I'm kind of beat up, but I know what my body's capable of even when I'm tired. And I think that maybe some athletes, when they get into that position, they're not used to it if their training environment is a little too comfortable or convenient. So that is something that's helped me as well.
Yeah, I think that, do you see that? It's a double-edged sword, right? Because as we professionalize as a sport and more people are doing this for their full-time jobs, more camps pop up, like where you are with us now, where things are a little bit more structured. You're able to do more of what you need to do as an athlete. Do you think younger athletes need to go through kind of those struggles and obstacles of finding their own way, making sure that they're doing what they want to do?
Yeah, definitely. They need to make sure that they want it and realize it's not going to be easy and there's going to be a lot of hard things. Even if you do have the opportunity to train full time, we've seen a lot of athletes struggle with it mentally. But, you know, if it isn't for you, go hang drywall for 10 hours a day and see how you like that too. I mean, it is a privilege to get to do this sport at a high level, and fortunately for the athletes that have had a hard time mentally, they've had the, you know, the finances and the opportunities to take a year off and kind of collect themselves. You know, just looking at it kind of from the perspective of like, there's a lot of people that go through rough times in life and they don't really have the opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to chill for a year and find myself. They still have to get up and go to work and pay their bills and things like that. And just realize, yeah, like, you don't have to quit when things get tough, and they are going to get tough. And whether it's in fitness or if it's in life, things are going to get difficult. So, Yeah, try and, you know, CrossFit is one of those things to where you can build up an armor by doing something that is uncomfortable and challenging, but it's in a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. You know, if you lose a workout, you know, the consequences aren't that bad. But you can develop a mental strength from doing these hard things and then take that with you in other places in life. So when you are in a position in life where, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place and there is no easy way out, you have that mental fortitude built up to where you can get through it and, you know, do the things that you need to do and still operate.
Just clip all that, Brandon. We'll just use that and cut it from there. That's awesome, man. I think that's like you just nailed it. Like that's, we actually get to do this because it's an opportunity. It's not something that any of us are obligated to. It's not something that at the end of the day, competing in Madison or competing in Dallas doesn't really help our world, right? Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a sport and it's something that can really inspire people. But from a day-to-day basis, it's got to have something that gets you through the day at more than just a physical level. Like it has to be something mental that you are doing for yourself, for one, but also for something in the future. Like I think a lot of great athletes, like you look at Tia, she's been able to build her career around the fact that she wants to set up her children to have great lives for the rest of their lives. And I think unless you have that intrinsic value and motivation to bring people up in your life and your family to a better place, it's going to be really hard to get to work and really grind every single day, right? So I think that's really cool. So when you guys talk about, like, Allie is your girlfriend, and you guys have been together for how long?
Like 4 years now.
4 years. Sorry if I put you on the spot there. That's good. We'll double check, fact check that. But she's also a games athlete, so she's on a team, right?
Yeah, CrossFit Kilo 2. She's on their team the past 2 years. And they're getting ready to make their – trying to make their third run to the games and – yeah, she's been making a lot of progress, and it's nice having somebody around that has similar values. Like before I met her, I realized like I'm not gonna be in a relationship or have a girlfriend that's not kind of in fitness or like understands it, because it's just the person or the lifestyles is gonna be so different. Like I can't be with somebody who is wanting to go out all the time on the weekends and stay up late, because it's just not gonna work with my lifestyle at the time. So meeting her and just having someone to kind of go through that stuff with, and even do things like sit in the cold tub with and things like that, they're not so fun.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more enjoyable with somebody else around.
Did you guys meet at Kilo, or where did you guys meet?
Yeah, we met at CrossFit Kilo. I think it was just like maybe it was one of the skills classes or something. I think we were working on muscle-ups or whatever, and I went up and started talking to her, and yeah, I went from there.
So you pulled the trigger first.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty well for you. There you go. So you guys are on the farm together then, and then you have your own gym now. How was that process? Because it looks pretty cool in there.
Yeah, it's finally getting to the point where it's pretty much done. It was a long process getting there. We did a lot of the construction ourselves, and, yeah, it just took a long time. But, yeah, it's basically a 64 by 40 foot structure, and there's a big wall down the middle, and half of it is house and half of it's gym, so it's perfect.
You live in there too? Oh, that's awesome. I had no idea about that. Do you find it's weird at all to kind of live in the same space that you train?
Not really, because I was training in a garage before, so it's kind of just like a really big garage gym, essentially. But yeah, it's really nice just like saving time with commuting or things like that, and or being able to like, okay, I'm done with this piece, I can go walk over to the house, to the kitchen real quick and get something to eat. But yeah, it's been really nice just to have everything that we need there and not having to do like rope climbs in a tree anymore or like wall balls on the side of the house.
Yeah, if you guys have never seen this, there's some old videos of ring muscle ups on trees and rope climbs on trees. You can go look at those, which are hilarious.
Yeah, I'm glad those days are behind me. It's the quality of training has improved a ton, and I have an air runner now, so I don't have to do, like, trying to do running intervals outside in the snow is not ideal. So, yeah, that's made a big difference, too.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know about Iowa weather, it's, like, the worst of the worst on both ends, right? Yeah. So you go from just ice and snow to just hot at all times. You get, like, maybe 2 months in there. That's nice.
Yeah, no, this winter was particularly cold for a while. We got, like, 4 or 5 feet of snow within, like, a month. We have so our dog pen is outside. And it's a 4-foot fence, so it turned into a 2-foot fence for a while with all the snow. But yeah, the dogs loved it. They loved digging around in it. And
so yeah, you guys have wiener dogs.
Yeah,
I'm a weenie dad as well, which we bond over. And they just had puppies.
Yeah, we've got 5 wiener dogs. We got the male named Otis. We got the females are Mabel, Martha, Margo, and Millie. And Millie just had puppies a couple days ago. She had 4. So yeah, Allie's back home taking care of them. But yeah, it's a lot of fun hanging out with them. They come inside.
Do they come in the gym while you guys are training?
Not typically, unless we're just doing like some easy skills work. They usually keep them out of there. But they have a heated doghouse outside in a big pen that they hang out in during the day when we're at work and training. And then in the evenings, they come out and sleep on the couch and whatnot, hang out with us for a while.
So last year, remind me what you came in last year at the games?
18th.
Okay, and that was your best placing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going into 2024. You've got all these things lined up to where you're moving more towards being able to do this full time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your own gym now. You've got Proven, our camp. What kind of difference have you noticed? I know you talked about Joey a little bit, but you've been here for 2 days now, and you've been around some more training partners. So we've got Sydney, we've got Sydney, Tia, and Luis.
Yep.
Do you think that that environment, obviously you're going to be coming back and forth here for a bit, will help you a lot as we move towards the games?
Yeah, I've definitely, it took a while to kind of, I tried to adapt to like a good mindset for training alone because I am alone most of the time. So it's been a little bit weird being here. Like I'm in a place that isn't my garage for the first time in a while, but it's been really nice to have these training partners and have people to push me. And it definitely just like brings up the energy level, like overall, like anybody who like if you've done a workout at home in your garage by yourself versus going to class, it's a huge difference, just like with the atmosphere environment. And sometimes at home it is kind of nice to just put the headphones in and get to work, but it's definitely much more fun whenever you can be around other people and have them to push with. And like we did the open workout and there's 3 of us going and getting cheered on by Tia and the Sydneys and the coaches, and then getting to cheer them on afterwards. Yeah, it's way more fun.
Yeah, speaking of afterwards, I mean, you were done and dusted before anyone else. You absolutely crushed that one. You guys will see that next week. But so let's jump into the workout. So you and Luis did it side by side. You both crushed it. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. Luis did really, really well. We were neck and neck for like most of the workout. So I was really impressed with that. And we did it with the clock behind us, so I couldn't see the time at all, which is probably good. Because like in my mind, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm probably about to come up on like the time that I'm trying to hit. So that helped me push a lot harder at the end. And yeah, once you get through like the 21s, just had that feeling of being like that kind of pukey, sick feeling. But it wasn't terrible as far as like muscular fatigue goes or cardiovascular fatigue for the most part. Yeah, but once you get through the 21s, it's like, okay, I'm kind of almost done. Like I said, the 15 and 9s left, and it's not too bad.
So we got week 2 coming up. You're going to do the open announcement live. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great opportunity. Not a lot of people get to go to Justin's home gym and beat him in front of his friends and family. So, I mean, that'll be a blast, I'm sure.
Yeah, you don't take it easy on him either. You just lay smack down there. So it's going to be when did they reach out for you? Like, how long have you known about this?
They asked if I want to do the workout. It was probably 2 or 3 months ago. And then I told them, like, yeah, I'm in. We didn't find out a lot of details about it until maybe 6 weeks ago.
Did they tell you where it would be, or did they just ask if you wanted to do it?
No, they just asked me if I wanted to do it. And
was it an immediate yes? Did you know you wanted to do it?
Yeah, I emailed them back that evening, told them I'm in, and then it was a little while after that I had to sign like an NDA or whatever and all that stuff, and then they reached out with the details. It's going to be against Justin at his home gym and all that stuff several weeks later, and yeah, it's been something I'm really looking forward to. And then the week after that, going out to Charlotte to beat up on Taylor Self a little bit.
It's going to be a good open for you, man. It's just like a beat down after beat down. So next week, we got burpees out of the way. We got dumbbell snatches out of the way. What would you like to see in front of everyone's going to be watching, the whole world?
I hope we get some high volume squatting of some sort and maybe a heavy lift.
Well, Dave's back, so I think the high volume squatting may be there. Maybe squat clean ladder, that'd be good.
That'd be very good.
That'd be good. So we're talking about the open. What's your best finish you ever had?
Last year I got 3rd overall.
And then did you win any workouts last year?
No, I think the best I've ever got on an individual workout, I think I've had a few top 5s, but I've never won an individual one.
Well, until this year.
Yeah.
Get that on the board for sure. So yeah, man, this has been awesome to have you. This has been something that, like I said, is kind of full circle for the two of us. We've known each other for a very long time. Couldn't ask for a better person to be in this camp. I think we've had a lot of changes this year. It's something we spoke about early on, to where moving forward, we just want to have people that can not only do really well as an athlete and elevate their careers when it comes to their professional aspect of the CrossFit Games, but we also want to elevate the level of our whole camp. And that's something where I know these guys being around you and our younger athletes as well can learn a lot from what we talked about. And even just the hard work that you've put in and can kind of demonstrate to these guys is something we should all aspire to be. I know Shane and I have talked about that time and time again, and that's a real big reason we wanted to work with you. Is there anything that you want to share with the people? Like, is there anything you want to plug in the meantime? I know I've actually been talking to Troy at Valor Fit. So he's one of those guys that'll be here on the last week. He's been somebody that's been singing your praises as well. He's another Iowa guy. But yeah, man, if you got anything, that would be great.
Yeah, I've been really grateful to be here and be a part of this camp. And I've already learned a lot and benefited personally a lot from it. And it's been great to come here for the open and see all you guys. And yeah, it's just so much different in person. Getting to meet everybody and hang out with like Tia and Shane in person for the first time has been really great. And just the hospitality has been amazing. So really thankful for that. And yeah, thank you to Troy and EnviroFit for getting me out here. It's been a great opportunity. And yeah, I mean, we got the, as far as stuff to plug, we got the custom blend of coffee from Paper Street.
Here we go.
With the Wiener Dog t-shirt. We got the Unbroken belt with Tupud and Unbroken barbell with Hero barbell, all available as well.
Yeah. What's your Instagram tag?
I think it's this Colton_Mertens.
Yeah, go follow this man. You can follow along on our Instagram as well. Brandon's going to have some really cool content of the open workout that was today, and then some YouTube stuff as well. I think that's where we'll sign it off.
All right.
See you guys next time.